How's it going, everyone, and welcome to another MTV Reality Wrap-Up. I kind of said it right, but you know what? We're just going to go with it. I'm Adam Bongiovanni, your host, and I'm here with my uber-talented, beautiful host, Aman Adwin. Aman, how you doing today?
I am good. I'm glad to be back on yet another episode of...
You have to say it, because I always say it and fuck it up, so you say it.
Reality wrap ups.
Yeah, there you go. That was good.
Reality wrap up recaps.
We're not alone tonight. It's not a duo. We're a trio tonight. So I'll cue our guest in before because I feel like we teased it a little online, but nothing crazy. We're here with one of the most influential people on the most influential season in Are You the One history. One of the most sought after men in the Are You the One 8 house, and maybe all of the world. Please welcome Justin Avery Palm to the podcast. Justin, how are you doing?
How's it going, guys? Hello, everyone. Thank you for having me on, guys. I really do appreciate it.
No, of course. Yeah, of course.
Thank you for agreeing to be on.
Yeah, well, I have nothing else better to do at 12 a.m.
Yeah, we're all on the East Coast, so we're doing this at midnight, which is an interesting time, but we're all night owls, so it works.
Yeah, I mean, we're no strangers to doing this. Like, I mean, Adam and I do this, like, on the regular anyway. So, this is, you know, we're in our element right now. This is it.
Excellent.
All right, so I guess we'll just jump right into things. So, it's Wednesday night we're recording this. Monday was the last, before the finale episode of Are You the One. Probably, definitely the biggest episode of the season. We find out that you and Max are not a perfect match. And so, you're the focal point of the whole season for the most part. Like, obviously, we got a lot of Kai drama as well. But I feel like the relationship that the whole show kind of revolved around was you and Max. Watching it back for the first time, was it tough? Like, how did you feel watching it back?
Yeah, no, it was extremely tough, you know, because it's one thing knowing that it's coming, right? But then seeing week in, week out, you fall in love again and you're going through the the reasons why you were in this relationship and knowing that it's going to come to an end and seeing everyone like enjoy the same things that you enjoyed not too long ago. And just knowing that not only are you prepping for heartbreak, but like everyone else is at the same time, it's just like really difficult to actually see yourselves go through it on TV. Yeah, no, it was incredibly difficult.
Yeah, no, I completely get that. And I think we all might have lost Aman. Aman, are you still here?
I'm still here. Okay, although Justin's audio did cut out for me a bit, so I didn't hear quite the entire answer. I'm going to turn my camera off because I feel like that helps.
I'll try
with
that
connection.
Too. I heard most of it, so I'm pretty good. So you watch this whole, and Justin, can you hear me okay?
Yeah, I can hear you guys. Perfect.
Oh, okay, cool. If anything changes, we might have to pause, but for now, we're good. So you're watching this whole season, like you said, you watch yourself fall in love again. And then it kind of goes from this really high and leading up to this build up the whole season. And then it kind of comes crashing down. And then, of course, you get all of this drama on Monday night on Twitter. Going into this episode and anticipating this, it's one thing to anticipate the kind of the no match situation. But did you anticipate kind of the shit storm on social media?
No, I didn't really anticipate that. I didn't know what exactly the final outcome was going to look like. Mm-hmm. So I kind of didn't expect it to be so cold on my front. So yeah, obviously the social media backlash after that was kind of a bit much, a little overwhelming. And by a little, I mean a lot. And then, you know, I wasn't really reinforced by the other half of Jack, so that kind of led to some more tensions and just mm-hmm. like a complete explosion on Twitter. Yeah, no, I definitely was not expecting any of that.
You know, interesting question that I have. So I know for reality television contestants, it can seem like a different world coming off of a show and having everybody sort of like know your name, especially on a show like this, where, you know, you sort of like bear your soul to America. and people sort of like get to know you on a more intimate level as we see you getting to know other people on a more intimate level. I don't know if this is something that you're necessarily allowed to talk about. So if you're not, you know, feel free to keep your mouth closed. Yeah. But it does production, do they sort of like give you a bit of a warning before you go back out into the world and sort of like, you know, try and like hold your hand through some of the things that you might experience on social media? Because it can be a bit of a whirlwind and some people don't necessarily, you know, take too kindly to it.
Well, I think you can infer based off the different types of reactions from different cast members this entire season. You could kind of see the amount of preparedness everyone was for coming back into the real world, you know?
Yeah.
Yeah, definitely. I mean, we definitely have a few people that seem to be living their best lives on the gram. And then we have a few people that, you know, sort of like have some unfinished business that they need to attend to. So it's interesting to see, you know, but I mean, I guess it sort of like correlates with how people are portrayed on the show as well. So, I mean, I guess if you're somebody that's sort of like, you know, a contentious character throughout the series, you know, it's more likely that you're going to get, you know, some more fan feedback, whether it be positive or negative. But I feel like for the most part, I mean, you know, of course we have like a little bit of drama with between you and Max and everything, but I feel like for the most part, you seem to be handling it with as much ease and as much grace as possible. So there's a plus there.
Oh, yeah. No, it's definitely a plus. Well, I mean, beforehand, you know, you just know that you're going into this the show where you're going to be completely exposed, you know, all your raw emotions. And you just have to like, or at least personally, I knew I had to bolster myself because no matter what you do, you're always going to have someone that doesn't like it, you know, and you just have to be ready for it. I try not to put too much energy into them. You know, people, especially trolls, are way better when you just ignore them versus giving them any kind of spotlight. So that is mostly my strategy. typically. Yeah.
And that makes sense, though. And like, we actually, me and Amon talked about this because you watch someone on a reality show and you see the edit. And I feel like in the edit, we saw a little bit of the playful side of you, but it was like the very, like, more serious, like, kind of calmer side where we talked to you for a half hour last night. And I feel like I got to know you more in the half hour than I did of the season long edited version of you. So then when you see this edited version and it's like, you and Max are no match. And they show you kind of like consoling Max, but at the same time, you're like, okay, I want to see who my match is. And then you have the whole shitstorm of the internet, people shitting on you and saying like you weren't there for Max or you just gave up too easily. What's your response? Because at the end of the day, we're getting a edited TV show. We're not seeing this in live, like kind of going on in front of us.
Yeah, see, I mean, I just wish a lot more people, especially the Twitter people the other day, just like knew that. Because even like, the conversation that we had where it is, it looks like I'm just dragging Max to the ocean to tell him to cut it off. No, that was a very long conversation. And it had the precedent of other conversations before that. I mean, like Max and I were hoping that we were a perfect match and we were talking about it like it would be a possibility that we weren't sometimes. And we talked about what we would do in that possibility, you know? So this wasn't like we weren't I don't want to say we were unprepared because Max was like pretty unprepared, but it had been discussed as a possibility because, you know, we're two adults and this is a game. We know that it's a possibility that we're not a perfect match, obviously, you know. So, of course, you don't really get too much of that. And, you know, you just get this edit where I just like cut it off super quick, super fast. And that's not at all how I remember it.
Were you surprised at all by the continuance that it seemed like the continuance of drama online? Were you surprised at all by that, by some of like your other castmates, or did you see something like this potentially coming? And of course it gets fueled by fans that are going to, you know, choose their sides because that's what everybody needs, their king or their queen of reality television. So of course it gets fueled by them. But were you surprised by any of your castmates sort of like feeding the flames, or were you sort of just expecting this to happen?
Well, I mean, not too many castmates actually chimed in. They wanted to steer clear. The two main parties were obviously Max and I. And I was definitely surprised by Max's actions because, like, my edit was pretty cold, and I see that. So I was already, like, kind of getting backlash for it. But just to see, like, the other half of Jax, like, kind of be the captain of it and steer it directly my way. Mm-hmm. That was definitely something that I wasn't ready for. And I'm pretty cool and calm most of the time, but, you know, everyone has their breaking points. So, unfortunately, people saw that side of me last night.
Yeah, and... Yeah, no, I understand that. And like, it's very tough. Like, we're trying to handle this as objective as possible. Cause at the end of the day, like, I keep trying to emphasize that we don't see a lot of this. You know, we see an edited version on TV. So we do see Max being emotional on the show, but we still don't know Max. We see you being a little calmer on the show, but we still don't know you. So I'm hoping, like, with this interview, we could be like, okay, like, this is the Justin that you saw the edited version of. And I hope we could kind of help our audience and Are You the One fans get to know you more. Because at the end of the day, like, I doubt what you want to be doing was arguing with someone, especially someone as much as you both cared about each other on social media, the night after you find out on TV you're not a perfect match on such an iconic season.
Yeah, no, definitely not. You know, going into the shows, we were writing tweets to each other, and they were like very heartfelt and stuff.
Yeah,
I don't necessarily like blame Max too much, because I know that he's like pretty emotional, right? He's pretty controlled by his emotions, and if he's feeling hurt, then he lashes out, right? I know this because I was in the house with him. You know, that's our relationship on screen so far, is just me consoling him whenever he gets super emotional, right? So I it's not out of character for Max, but it just was unexpected that it was targeted towards me.
Yeah, I mean, it's I mean, you know, and I'm sort of like I feel like Max and I are potentially cut from the same cloth. I mean, when you sort of go, you live it, right? You go through all of this, you go through all the highs and the lows of being on this TV show, bearing your soul and all of that. And then you have a little bit of time to decompress, and then you get to watch it week by week. And then all of those feelings and all of that drama sort of like gets rumbled back up inside you as you have to watch it. And then, of course, as I said before, you have fans that are all in your mention saying like, oh my goodness, this person treated you wrong and they should have handled it this way. And it can get very, very easy, I imagine, to, you know, get wrapped all up in that again and allow yourself to relive it in a sense. But I mean, I think like Adam said before, I think that like, this interview is important, and this conversation in general is important, because I think that fans should be reminded, like, these are people, right? Like, Justin is a person, okay? Like, it's not, of course, it's reality TV and it's meant for your entertainment, but these people are going through this in real time, in real life, and not, you know, how many people can say that they have been filmed for an exorbitant amount of time, having to deal with multiple personalities as you're trying to find your perfect match. Like, this is an extraordinary situation that it's not ordinary. So I feel like people have to remind themselves that it's, you know, very, very, it's a heightened situation, and people, you know, should give you the courtesy to say like, hey, like, you're in the moment of it was a heat of the moment kind of thing. And now you have to sort of like get past that. So just a little word to the wise, to all the
okay,
the
spit your truth, Amon. I like it.
I like it.
Justin, so there's kind of how I looked at it, and this is like before we even spoke last night at all. How it looked like to me was, and like I said, this is so, I'm watching a show, so it looked like this was Max's first male to male relationship, right? It was his first experience kind of really exploring his sexuality in a deep way, not just kind of a quick physical moment, or it seemed like you were his first lover that was a guy, right? You're his first real boyfriend. So when you guys, it fucks up and you're not a perfect match, it seems like that it was so much harder for him, because he was kind of in that mindset like, this, I found the guy of my dreams and this was my first boyfriend. When it seems like you just based on the edit, might have had more boyfriends in the past and a little more experience with dating guys. And do you think that the reflection of it showing that you were a little, it was a little easier for you to move on, or just easier for you to kind of like understand that this kind of thing happens, and more difficult because his experience was a little less than yours?
Yeah, no, I mean, I was definitely like his first male-to-male relationship. He said that multiple times, and, he wasn't mine, the truth of it, you know, he wasn't mine. I've had plenty of boyfriends, plenty of girlfriends. I've had plenty of heartbreaks, you know, and I understand the argument of like, you know, you fell in love and just stick with that person and you guys could just like champion through like the rest of the experience if there's like, you know, only like 2 weeks left, for instance. But the point of going on the show is to find your perfect match, right? Like you could you could go and fall in love with anyone at a bar and just like decide that that's you know, the love of your life. There's no reason to go on this trip to Hawaii and through this entire experience if you are sure that you can find your person. We all went there because we have relationship problems, because we haven't been able to find someone. So and we went there placing our trust in matchmakers and family and all these tests and stuff to decide that someone is our perfect match. So I think that I wanted to find out who that person was. And if I found someone as amazing as Max, you know, and I enjoyed our relationship so much, I could only imagine like what this other person that was actually picked for me as a PM was, you know. And I would just hate to keep someone. Like, I know I'm in love, right? But what if there's like six other stragglers or like five other stragglers, four other stragglers, not including Max and I, right? And I would hate for them to like actually be looking for their PM, looking to fall in love, haven't found it yet. And like, I'm emotionally unavailable. That's, I don't know, I think that's not too fun.
Yeah, I mean, it seems to me that you're a true believer in the perfect match, because we've seen some contestants on the show that have fallen in love with somebody and it turns out that they're not the perfect match, but they've just decided to just throw their hands up into the air and they charge it up to the game and let go and let God and be like, look, I will play the game for the rest of the way just for the sake of the money, but when I leave this house, this is the person that I want to spend my time with. But it sounds like you're more interested in actually seeing what it was that your family and your friends and the producers and the matchmakers really did put in front of you to explore. Mm-hmm. So it's interesting to see because some people will walk into the show really, really thinking that this is something that they'll be able to find love and keep love and perhaps explore something with somebody else. And then I feel like there are other people that are more like, if I find, you know, somebody that I really want to hang out with, that's really cool. But I can also, you know, also win the $1 million. So that's also really cool.
And hook up.
And hook up. So.
Yeah, no, I'm with you, and I do think that from the outside looking in the matchmaking process, like, we've been just really skeptical of it. But at the same time, if you're investing like X amount of months or weeks, whatever it is in your life into this process, like, I feel like you should believe in it. And at the end of the day, like, you could have a lot of money, but I feel at the end of the day, love is it's a lot more valuable. And I know it's cliche, but you could win. What is $1 million split between 16 people? Like, what would your payout be if you won the million and didn't black out?
It hurts to even think about it.
it would be a decent amount of money, but nothing like, it's not like $2 million each, you know? So like, I feel like that comes and goes, but I do, from talking to you, I feel like it makes me understand like why people believe in the process a little more. I want to just do one more question with the Twitter beef and then we'll kind of move on from that, because I feel like you've answered what I'm assuming a lot of fans are wondering, and I think we've covered most of it, but was there ever a moment where you try to like handle it offline? Because I feel like it's just such a messy situation when it's all over Twitter and all the people that look up to you guys as an inspiration, and the bisexual kid in the middle of Missouri who can't come out sees like Max and Justin. He's like, maybe that could be me. And do you regret at all not taking it offline, or did you try to do that at all?
Well, I mean, Max and I, up until this point, we talk all the time, right?
Yeah.
And after like the first exchanges, I definitely like texted him and stuff. But then he started like, I wouldn't say exposed multiple of my texts. He only exposed one of them on Twitter and like put it online for ridicule. And then after that, I was like, well, this probably isn't gonna, I'm probably not gonna text you anymore.
No, I get that. And it's tough because when someone, I feel like when you're in an argument with someone online, it's, you could try to ignore it, but then if they're saying certain things about you, it's like, okay, like I have to kind of respond somehow. And do you, after like going through this whole thing with Max and being as influential as you guys were, do you think there's any possibility to like reconnect ever, even if it's just as friends and kind of just be a part of each other's lives because you were so important to each other at one point?
I mean, yeah, absolutely. I will always have love for Max. He'll always be the man that I fell in love with on TV, mm-hmm. you know? He'll always have that place in my heart. And, you know, I've already forgiven him for what he did. I'm going to forgive him for everything that he's going to do. And, yeah, that's that. Like, I want to be on good terms with him because we've had such a special connection and we've been able to share that connection with everyone. And yeah. It would just be sad. It would make me very sad if I was unable to be friendly with him, at least.
Well, you heard it here, fans. Like, cool it with the comments and the mentions and all that bullshit. Like,
yeah,
let these people be mature if they would like to be mature. I think that's really awesome, though. I think that that's, you know, a positive and healthy a healthy way to handle this, because there are there are many people that would go ahead and say, screw it, and continue this vicious cycle of back and forth, back and forth, back and forth. So I'm glad that you that's not something that you would want, or that's not something that you're willing to give any more energy to. So that's great to hear. That makes me happy.
Hey.
All right. So we're going to kind of go off the Twitter fingers, and we kind of want to go back into the life of Justin. And like, so young Justin, when did he realize that, okay, like, I like guys and girls?
Well, I mean, he knew this. Oh, let me not talk in third person. I knew this when I was like, once you start thinking about like sex in general, I think I was in middle school, I guess.
Yeah.
Yeah. So I knew I like girls, right? Cool. But I also definitely had feelings towards guys as well. And they were very similar to the way I felt about girls. So that was like very hard to deal with coming up in like a Christian upbringing. So I definitely spent some years praying the gay away, and and I was committed to living this half life where I would only date one gender and I could totally get by on. So I continued to do that all the way up until probably I was like 20 years old. And then at that point I was really well into the military, and it was just like this really bad year where my deployment schedule was just all over the place. So I would like come in for a week, leave 2 weeks, come in for 2 weeks, leave for a month. You know, it was just awful. So my Tinder game definitely suffered because of it. I would have like, I would go on a date with a girl and, we'd hit it off or whatever. And then I would leave for a week and it would be like ghosting. Like, I think that's what they thought. Like, I was just ghosting them. So then I would come back and like hit them up. And like nothing. And that happened repeatedly for like several months. And it just like tossed me over the edge. So I was just like, you know what? I like dudes. I'm not like super Christian anymore. I'm not going to church anymore. I'm on my own. I'm independent. I'm going to just start I'm going to start exploring. So I definitely did. I experimented a lot. And by the time I was 21, I had my first boyfriend, and I was fully just embracing everything of who I was and being 100% authentically me. And definitely, yeah, my own self was like my biggest hurdle. I didn't really care what like my family thought or anything like that, because, you know, I was raised in a pretty in liberal California. Like, my biggest thing was my religion with myself. And after I got done with that, then I was like, oh, well, this is pretty easy. Now I could just be who I want. And my family was pretty supportive.
That's very interesting that you said that your religion is with yourself. Like, I think that resonates with a lot of people. I think that's like not something that people think about originally. Like, I mean, I feel like, you know, religion is such an outward thing. You know what I mean? Like, it's something that it's also very ubiquitous, especially in the United States. And I feel like a lot of people, you know, it is sort of like more of a personal battle than it is more so than with anybody else in your life. Like, I mean, of course, like parents and grandparents and teachers and friends, if they are religious and they share your practices, of course, they're going to be an influence in your life. But ultimately, it really has to be something that you have to get past yourself. And so I think that that's an interesting way of putting it, calling it the religion with yourself, because once you decide that this is not something that you, are going to subscribe to anymore, or at least not in this fashion, that is so restrictive for you, that's all that really matters, because no one else is really going to be able to have any autonomy over you than you. So that's really cool that you said that. But you mentioned being in the military. Is that something that you felt like you had to hide like during the beginning, or were you more open to, because when did you leave the military?
I left when I was 24, back in November.
Oh wow, so
like very recent.
Yeah, super recent. I moved to New York as soon as I moved out, and I went to a rave, and that's where I met someone who was who networked with a casting agent for the show, and that's how my process got started.
So it was all like the most organic way you could like get on the show. It's like, oh, I'm done with the military now, I'm gonna go to a rave, boop, are you the one, here I come.
Yeah, basically. I was just I guess I'm lucky. I was acting really bisexual during this rave.
and they saw me. what are bisexual, like stereotypical bisexual characteristics? I'm extremely like interested to hear these stereotypes.
Probably just making out with both genders in a very short period of time.
I guess that's a good way to like show it off, you know, like, okay. That's impressive though that they just picked up on you. And I guess a casting director had to be there, or was it someone that knew a casting director?
Someone that knew a casting director.
And I don't know if this is true or not, and I know you probably can't disclose this information, and I'm just want to ask Amon if he knows. Apparently Natalie Negrati was big in the casting process. Amon, did you know
for Are You the One?
Yeah, for this season.
You mean like she was involved in like scouting? Yeah, I did hear that. I mean, I think that she posted something about it.
Yeah, like, so I feel like it's pretty open. Like, I just don't want to get Justin in trouble.
She did post about it.
Okay, so are you allowed to talk about it?
She did post about it.
Hey, Justin, did she post about it?
She posted about it. She
okay, good. Okay, just
looks
making
like
sure.
A pretty cool person too.
Yeah, I would think so based on the fact that she the fact that she casted a pretty cool cast. And we've talked about the cast actually, and how usually on the straight seasons and the cast like is very, you kind of get the same thing every year, right? You get these all these different people, but they're kind of the extremes of these different people. So you get the frat guy, but you're getting like the frattiest frat guy, and then you're getting like the really good looking guy and the really pretty girls, and it just seems very non like what
cookie cutter.
There's no diversity, right? So even sexuality aside, I feel like this season has been the most real season where the people, despite like being bisexual, because of course that's we could talk about that as a whole as well. But just the fact that these people, you guys all felt like real humans. And I think that was extremely refreshing with Are You the One?
Oh, wow. I don't even know how to respond to that. I mean, definitely we had all different types of personalities, but they were so authentic and they were so deep. You know, we all have stories. We all have depth. We're dynamic people. And I think that was very evident even on like the first day of meeting each other, you know?
Yeah, and that's one thing. I mean, one thing that is like very sort of like a hot button topic nowadays, especially in regards to just entertainment in general, is the concept of representation. And I know that a lot of people in the LGBT community, LGBTQIA community, are, you know, they're usually like far and few between when it comes to shows like these. And I know that you get your token gay, your token lesbian, your token bisexual, whatever have you, token transgender person. And they sort of feel the weight of having to represent for the community, for their sub community and for the community at large. But now that all of you are in a position where you are around people that are just like you, did you ever feel like it was, you didn't have to necessarily represent everybody because of the fact that you all were sort of like on the same playing field, and you didn't have to worry about being that token gay or that token bisexual person that has to represent for everybody because all of you are there pretty much for the same reason and for the same thing? Was that like a freeing experience?
Definitely. You know, you just share the load, right? So it's all of you representing so many different aspects of what queerness is that you don't feel a huge burden individually. Some people definitely went with a mentality that they're representing a community and they have to strive for better. But half of us were just like, I'm representing myself, you know, like I'm not trying to necessarily be a perfect role model. I'm a human being, and I just want to represent that queers aren't these like godly creatures that can't do wrong, but they're human, you know, just like everyone else. And we're trying to normalize who we are.
Right.
Yeah.
So, Go ahead, Adam.
No, you're good. I was just agreeing.
Okay. So I have a really cool question. Well, it's sort of like, it's not that cool, but so you get the call that you're on the show, that you are going to get flown out to Hawaii tomorrow. Like, what is Justin feeling at that moment? Like, what's the feeling? What are the thoughts in your head as you are about to hop on a plane and head to Hawaii?
Hey, it's a moderately cool question. I decently like it. And my first thought was, fuck, now I have to... Oh, wait, can I curse? Oh, my God.
Yeah, of course. Fuck, yes, you can.
Okay, sweet. Yeah, my first... like, well, fuck, I'm 2 months in the courses. So I can't do a clean drop.
Oh, so you got to pay for them.
Yeah. So, I thought the experience overall would just be totally worth it. So, of course, I was super excited. I had been weighing whether or not to do it for so long. And especially getting more and more into school and getting more into my courses. But overall, like, I was happy, of course. I mean, you get to fly out to Hawaii and, like, worst case scenario, you just have, like, an awesome time for a month, you know?
Yeah. No, it's true.
Yeah. When you walked into the house, you mentioned in your DR, people is sort of, like, always gravitating towards you. And I think if I remember correctly, you walked in, because you guys walked in groups. You walked in with Max. Was there ever any initial attraction between you and Max the get-go?
Definitely didn't walk in with Max.
My mistake.
I remember the exact person I walked in, which is hilarious because you guys know the previews for next week. But the person I walked in with was Amber.
Oh, wow.
Oh.
Wait, because I feel like people commented on both of your looks. Is that what happened? Like, they were like, somebody said, because Jonathan was like saying nice things about you. And I feel like maybe Nora said nice things about Amber, because I feel like now it's like starting to come back. Or I'm just lying.
Well, Jonathan definitely said nice things about me.
Yes, he did.
That was a decent amount of storyline there.
Oh, man. Oh, before we get any like, further into any deep shit, I just need to know how real that awkward kiss was. Well, not kiss, I don't know what you call it, with you and Jonathan. And like, that was probably the lowest moment of the season for me, because I just cringed so hard. And like, despite what people think about Jonathan, have their negative perceptions because he lost the money that one time, whatever it was, I still can't get over the awkwardness and the cringiness of that kiss. And I felt for him because it was just an awful moment for all of us.
Yeah, I cringed into oblivion. I thought I would become like a fucking singularity. It was so awful to watch. I can say that it wasn't that terrible and cringy in real life.
Okay. We'll take it.
You know, as you would think. But yeah, no, that the kiss did happen, and that was my reaction to it. Maybe like, you know, subliminal.
And you said that diary room, you had the confessional where you were like, yeah, Jonathan really likes me, or you said something along those lines, and we're like, yeah. And like, there was nothing more to it. I just remember we were hysterical over that.
Ooh, was that the confessional where it's me and Jonathan, or was it just me?
No, it was you alone. It was like after the date, and you were like, yeah, Jonathan like really like says nice things, or is really like into me, and you're like, that's nice.
it's flattering.
Yes, that's what it was. Well, I'm glad Jonathan found his perfect match, so he didn't have to lose you guys any more money.
Yeah, absolutely. I wish he would have found them a little sooner.
Yes, I was so do we all. But for your bank account, we're all sorry for that. But so you, let's episode one. I know, like, we talked a little bit about it last night when we were just kind of shooting the shit. But I think a lot of people probably forget that you were like all in on Noor night one, night two, like early on. Could you tell us about that a little bit more? Like, how actually confident were you going into that first truth boot that you were Noor's match?
So I didn't really anticipate how many of us had very rough upbringing. So I, you know, obviously we're first week in the house. First date, we have a very similar past, and I'm like, oh wow, yeah, this is sweet, we have stuff in common. But then you know, after watching the entire show, I'm like, wow, we're really like that I Like Music couple from that other season.
Yes!
You know, because, like, literally everyone's talking about their hard past. And I'm like, wow, yeah, obviously we're all going to have hard past. We're a fucking house of queers. So looking back, it kind of seems ridiculous. But in the moment, I was, like, all for it. You know, I just wanted to be the first one. You know, there's always, like, this, like, legendary, you know, find your perfect match on the first week. I'd like, the earliest one is, like, week three, so I just wanted to
yeah.
do that. Would you really want to be that quick, though, and then miss out on the entire fun of the season, like, being tucked away in the honeymoon suite?
Well, I mean, the honeymoon suite is built up to be this, like, super ideal thing, you know? So, I mean, obviously you want to go there, right? Especially when the house is, like, so drama-filled. You can't even, like, take a rest.
I mean, I guess, yeah, I guess that you can't really beat a very non-stressful vacation in Hawaii, so guess you can't beat that, but
yeah, true.
Were you worried at all? Because Amber was also very, very into Noor. Were you worried at all about, like, sort of stepping on Amber's toes, or was it kind of just like, fuck it, like, I'm gonna go for what I want?
So I love competition. I dig
okay.
it. I'm really competitive. So the fact that Amber was going for Noor as well only heightened my pursuit of Noor. Yeah, no, I definitely would. That house has so many strong personalities, right? That if you are meek, or if you're scared to speak, or if you're scared of stepping on toes, then you are going to get drowned out. No one's going to listen to you. No one's going to care about what you want. So you just definitely have to take what you want.
Yeah. So you, like, clearly, like you said, you like competition, but now, like, when you're on the receiving end of things, because obviously you had a bunch of people in the house who were gravitating to you and interested in you. Were you flattered by that? Like, and I'm sure, or was it kind of after a while a little awkward that a lot of people were, like, trying to get to know you, and did that make it tougher for you to really focus on, like, Max or whoever you wanted to focus on?
Well, it definitely made it tougher to focus on just one person, right? Because the debate between polyamory and monogamy was the one that was had very often in the house, as you can imagine.
Oh, wow. We didn't see too much of that. That's interesting.
Well, I mean, the fact that you saw it at all should speak to how much we talk about it, you know?
Yep.
And you have, like, some hard champions for polyamory. I would definitely, it would be, like, Kai more on that side, right? And then some hard champions monogamy, right? So, like, that's obviously definitely a debate. And having so many people be interested in so many people, of course, and also, like, me included, it's definitely hard to be monogamous and to hold on to the standards that we have out in the real world for relationships and stuff, because you're in this very loosey-goosey, like, it was
right.
difficult to necessarily, like Max threw around the boyfriend word a lot, but, like, I wouldn't necessarily, because boyfriend has real world connotations with real world behaviors, right, and expectations. And yep. I was scared to place that label on us because I didn't want to hold true to those expectations and those restraints in a completely fabricated, isolated situation, you know, that was very different from the real world.
Right. So, I mean, I always wonder about the politics of the house, like when you are sort of thrown in the situation where you have to try and find your perfect match, which is going to require you making multiple connections in order to whittle it down. Is there some sort of, like, stratagem that the entire house came up with? Like, where it's like, okay, let's just lay some ground rules. Like, if I'm feeling this bitch, then nobody can talk to this bitch for 3 days until we figure it out. And if we don't want each other, then we'll get over it. But if don't talk to this bitch, if I'm talking to this bitch, was there any kind of, like, thing like that? Or was it kind of just free for all?
So let you kind of in on what our behaviors were and our expectations for, first of all, the word bitch wouldn't have been used in the very beginning. We had a conversation about the usage of the word bitch, right? So that's what level we're on entering the house day one.
Wow, interesting. Okay.
Yes.
Ooh, okay.
Yes. Like, yeah. I was yelled at repeatedly for using the word. And they stomped it out of me, and I no longer used it until probably, like, I don't think anyone cared by, like, week 7, week 8, right? So that's already the kind of place we were at. And yeah. Just the fact of, like, claiming someone, that's just so far off of like the egalitarian space that we had that it would just not be a thing. Like I think the most claiming anyone did was like Max with me. That was okay. That was to the most extent, and that was yeah, no, that was like the most I've ever got. There was no like ground rules or anything. Like someone might like tell you like, hey, I don't think this is cool necessarily, but like the whole house, we were all just like, you know, pursue your connections. We're all here to find our perfect match. No one's guaranteed to be a perfect match. So absolutely. As long as it's two consenting parties and whatever exchange is going on, then it's all good. That was a ground walk.
See, this kind of consent. This kind of speaks to the social consciousness. We talked about this with Danny a little bit, and like how all of you have sort of like, you've been in the trenches of the fringes of society. So you sort of, you operate, on a higher frequency than a lot of, not only just heterosexual people, but just like people in general. Like, I feel like when you're put in a position where you have to, combat to fight for like your very existence, you know, in a world, I feel like you're just going to be such much more socially conscious about, how you're making other people feel. So the fact that you guys like had a whole tribunal over the word bitch, as well as like, you know, trying to maintain this egalitarian society is just, That is just monumentally like amusing to me and satisfying. That's awesome. So I'm glad that was a thing. No,
it was awesome. But it was really a difficult situation for some of the people in the house, right? Because we had six people from New York City, which is, you know, pretty liberal, pretty queer, right? And six people from LA, also the same thing, right? And then you have stragglers that are from Florida and Utah, so they come in and they're not even using proper pronouns, and like the New York and the LA queers are like on this tier level that's like, you know, we're talking about egalitarianism and like trans, what trans non-binary means and trans masculinity, and like we had to like lower it down and like, okay, their pronouns. You know, so it was just a weird thing. Yes, we're all queer and we're all part of the community, but we all are really from different walks of life, you know. So it was definitely weird to be in a situation like that.
I mean, I bet. I mean, and that's something that Adam and I have like frequently sort of like battle. Like, I mean, we have some people that send us emails and DMs saying like, hey, Amon, I noticed that you didn't refer to Basit with their proper pronouns, and then you had to kind of catch yourself. And as a gay man, you know, that is something that I have to work on. And just because you're a part of the community doesn't mean that you're going to know everything that there is, every facet that there is. So it's a learning process for everybody. And I feel like, you know, that's a key point that we have to continue to push, because everybody assumes that, you know, you have to be on a certain level if you are a part of an oppressed group, or if you're out of an oppressed group, then you have even more of an obligation. But it's like, well, no, we all kind of all just have the same obligation. It's just, we're all going to reach there at different points. As long as we are, you know, giving each other enough grace to get there, I think that's the main point. So
yeah, that's absolutely why it's important we have these conversations, because we have to, like, as I feel like I grew up in I'm in from New Jersey. So I grew up in an extremely diverse like area. Like most of my friends weren't white, and I was the token white guy. And I feel like I'm glad no matter what happens at the future of Are You the One, that this show is so important, because it represented the underrepresented, and it gave people who don't even know about what a proper pronoun is for someone, they could understand the situation and understand, okay, like maybe what I've been calling someone like isn't the pronoun they prefer. And it's just a learning experience for everyone. And hopefully as we progress as society, and hopefully we continue to progress, and we could continue to have discussions like this. And now in the house, like Justin, obviously it's probably a clusterfuck of literally of people fucking. So I feel like we've talked about what I like to call like, are you the one rules, like with relationships. And I think like as someone, I feel like, of course, like cheating's terrible, but I don't think cheating exists in the Are You the One world. It's not the real world. So I think that even if you're like cuffed up or with someone and you go out and like make out with someone else, yeah, it might hurt someone's feelings. Like we saw Nord do to Amber, but at the same time, it's not cheating, right? Like it's not is it wrong? Like, is it something wrong? Like, if when you saw the Nora and Amber situation, Justin, did you say, okay, like, Nora's being a dick? Or did you say, you know what, we're an RUL1, we're following connections?
Well, obviously I'm a little biased in this. But,
sure.
But I think that cheating is very kind of like a predetermined set of expectations mm-hmm. and rules that you yourself and the other person in your relationship have
sure.
like set out, right? So I think when you set an expectation like, hey, don't kiss anyone on a date, and you do it yourself, and that's mm-hmm. not something that's pre talked about, then I think that would classify as cheating, yes. But I think if you tell the person that you're most romantically interested in that you're going to pursue other connections, then I don't feel like that's cheating.
Got it.
Yeah, if I'm in that house, I'm trying to shoot my shot with everybody.
You smashing everybody you can.
And the boom boom room, it might as well just be my room. Were you shocked by that fivesome?
No, not really. I thought there would be more. I was shocked by the size of it, and I was very.
Justin here.
Can you hear me?
Okay.
Yep. Can you hear me? Hello?
Yeah, now you're good. You're good. It just cut out for a second, but you're fine.
Okay. Yeah. No, I wasn't shocked with the size of the fivesome. wait, no. Let me. Oh, fuck. I was shocked with the size of the fivesome because I thought it would be more. That's the only thing that shocked me about it. I thought it was.
I think we were shocked that you weren't in it. Like, I feel like Justin and like, I feel like you not being a part of the fivesome was like a pretty big shock to all of us.
Yeah, no, it was very rude. If anything, it was very rude. They didn't.
How dare they not invite you? Oh man, that's so funny.
That was probably one of my favorite episodes because I love the way that it was edited. They literally just like went around the house and showing each person as they realized what happened. And it's just the same question. There was a fivesome last night. And it's just like over and over and over again. It was masterful editing that episode. I loved it.
Yes.
Oh, yeah. No, I love how when people talked about it in front of the perpetrators of said fivesome, that they were just like, you know, keeping it to themselves.
No, it was an iconic moment. We've never seen that. See, that's something that we heterosexuals can't even imagine. Like, it's stupid, fucking boring straights can't do anything more than like a threesome. It's pretty boring.
Yeah, and then there's like certain like parameters on how many, like the girl to guy ratio has to be just right.
It's like a college frat party.
Yeah.
Yeah. No, so continue.
Go ahead.
Oh, I just thought it was funny how like. That would be like the centerpiece of any straight season. Like, oh my God, awesome. But it was just like brushed over on our season. You know, we just kind of like, oh, there's a fivesome. And then everyone's kind of just like, oh, why wasn't I invited? And then we like move on to the challenge, you know?
Were there any other hookups that we didn't see make the edit so far that you are allowed to talk about?
Well, I mean, you guys had Danny on, right?
We only got one
from Danny, though. We only got him and Remy, like, night one. That was it. And I feel like it was surprising, but it wasn't like... Like, I feel like there's more to be found.
I mean, there's always more to be found. I can't say anything until the last episode, just to see. Because okay. They might not have, like, shown it yet, so who knows.
True. Okay. Was there anything night one that you could tell us about?
No, you guys have pretty up-to-date on night one, for sure. A lot more making out, obviously. I think everyone.
Yeah, I feel like that doesn't count, though, because I feel like you've realistically probably made out with everyone in the house.
Everyone has.
See, that's like nothing anymore. Like, we just need like penetration or nothing.
Yeah, no, I just love the precedent that we set for all these seasons. I remember I watched a season, I think it was like 3 or 4, and it was like some dude literally was just dancing with a girl, and like it led to this huge fight, and like I couldn't imagine, like the bare minimum was like making out with everyone, so like I couldn't imagine someone getting mad over a like dance. Like, that's ridiculous. So that's just like whatever season's after us, You gotta bang. Everyone has to bang.
Everyone has to bang. It's like the minimum of being on the next season of Are You the One? Okay, so you go early on in the season. Who besides Nora after the truth booth? Because obviously you knew she wasn't your perfect match. But like, who did you write off like right away? Like, all right, this person is not my perfect match.
And besides Jonathan, because we can kind of get that.
Yes.
Well, I mean, I'm gonna say this. He's super sweet, the best guy. Totally, I knew wasn't my match, Danny.
Yep.
You shut your mouth. He's so wonderful.
He's great. We bonded on a friend level hardcore. We were into a lot of like the same things. But I couldn't see it. I couldn't see anything of it.
Yeah. I think I could tell like you guys have as I know they say opposites attract, but I feel like you're just both, even because I feel like you're the only two we've spoken to on a like a deeper level than just like, oh, we saw your edit. But like, you guys just seem like very different people and just not in the type where opposites attract, just like different where you'll be friends. But like, it's definitely not going to be more than that.
Yeah, no, definitely. I wouldn't say that we're opposites. We're just different. Not in ways that compliment or do anything with each other other than like friends.
So, That's interesting, though, because I feel like, obviously the matchmakers and the producers are, you know, they're taking a lot of things into account when they come up with these matches. And there was like a certain spark between you and Max, and something that, I mean, maybe this is more of a question for Max that more so than it is for you. But I think he talks about it a little bit in his DRs, but do you think because of the fact that the both of you are more masculine presenting, that was something that made Max entering a relationship with another man a little bit more easy for him, as opposed to going for someone that might be a little bit more femme presenting, someone like Basit or somebody like Jonathan? Do you think that that was why it excited him? Or at least, do you think that that's what excited him about you, or you about him?
Well, the interesting thing is that I'm not his type at all.
Oh, really?
Yeah, no, he definitely like made that known. Like, I'm not his type. He typically not attracted to like big guys.
Really?
Yeah. So, I personally don't have a type. Anything goes, which is
me
the way I like
neither.
It.
Oh my god! No one ever believes me when I say that, and everybody's always trying to box me into a freaking type. And I keep telling people I do not have one.
Yeah,
it is the most annoying thing.
Literally, if you got everyone who I've been even remotely sexual with in one room, they would be
all shapes and sizes, right?
They would be all shocked at each other. They would fucking. Like,
can we make
really?
This happen? Can we like somehow get everyone in one room and like talk to them all?
If you're like a necromancer and you can. That's a little dark. I'm sorry. I have a little dark humor.
I feel like I've made my humor. If I could go like full out with my humor, I feel like our podcast would be taken off the air very quickly. It's fucked up.
So should we ask Justin the Kevin or the Kevin the Jonas Brothers question?
Justin, do you remember the Jonas Brothers?
Yeah,
do you know the difference between the three of them?
Oh fuck!
If you don't, you need to Google it. Like, this is a very important question for our podcast.
If it's like someone I'm gonna sleep with, it's definitely gonna be Nick. I don't even know the other two.
Well.
Okay, there we go. That's perfect. Okay, so you have to. You know what the other two at least look like? One's older and one's a little younger.
Yeah, I have my Safari going on right now.
Perfect. Okay, so the other two are Joe and Kevin. You obviously are going to fuck Nick, but who are you going to marry and who are you going to kill?
Oh, okay, sweet. Yeah, no, this is...
Yeah, we played this with Danny as well, and Amon had, like, the wrong answer, and, like, I'm just pretty disappointed in him.
I am who I am.
Yeah, well, you're wrong with this one. Okay. Nick is dead. I think Nick, my girlfriend is obsessed with the Jonas Brothers. Obsessed. Like, when she went to their concert, like, on Friday, went to, like, another one of their shows the week before. Obsessed. And she's, like, obsessed with Nick Jonas. So the minute I tell her Justin from Are You the One said he'd fuck Nick Jonas, I feel like it's just, she might as well just dump me now.
Yeah, no, definitely fuck Nick. Mary, oh my god, I don't know like which names go on which, but the one that was like the lead before Nick broke out.
Okay, so for Joe, I think you're going with.
Mm-hmm. Yeah, definitely. And then, you know.
You're gonna kill Kevin? Are you killing Kevin?
I would have to, you know.
Can I tell you why I think Kevin is the one that we should all fuck? Can I explain my reasoning here?
Yep, absolutely.
Okay, he's the least popular, right?
Right.
It's like he has the most to prove. So, like, if you're in bed with Kevin, this dude has been in, like, a relationship for the last decade. He's literally the least famous Jonas. Like, Nick has, like, 26 million followers. Kevin has 4 million. And the dude is like, okay, like, I'm the least popular out of the Jonas Brothers. I'm going to go all out here. Nick, before he was married, probably had sex with everybody. He has nothing to prove. So I feel like you're going to get the most fun time with Kevin.
I mean, yeah, that's a good argument. It is. But for me personally, you could be a dead fish and I would still have like a grand old time.
I guess Nick Jonas is at that level where he's good looking enough where like it doesn't matter.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, it really doesn't. If I'm into it, then we're gonna have a good time. All parties involved are gonna have a great time.
Oh man, this isn't. See, I think we're getting. They're asking the hard hitting questions here.
Yeah, this is what the people really want to hear.
Oh, I had a question. I forgot about this one. Justin Avery is your full first name, right?
Yes.
Do you have like a story behind that? Like,
it's not interesting, I assure you. My parents couldn't decide between two names that they liked, so they combined it together and made
that's
me
a good idea.
The longest name the kindergartner in like probably history.
And it's literally there's no dash or anything. It's Justin Avery.
One word. I literally the introduction. Yes, my name's Justin Avery, but my friends call me Justin. Ingrained.
But that's no, but like I think that's a good like have you ever been on like the dating apps? Like I feel like that's the perfect like way to start.
Well, I mean, on my dating apps, I'm just Justin because I don't want to. Like, I've had so many substitutes call me, like, Justina Vary that it hurts a lot.
Justina Vary. That's so annoying. I feel like it'd be no. Like, sound it out, bitch. Like, I think that would bother me.
Well, you know, everyone likes to have, like, unique names, and oftentimes with unique names there are unique pronunciations of those names. So I don't blame them, but I would just, I would block out my own name. I am all against, like, name erasure, but in my own case I definitely would erase some part of my name.
I get it. It makes sense.
So these are some hard questions, guys.
I feel like I'm nervous because I feel like we asked a lot about like you and Max early on, and like that's realistically that's what everyone's gonna ask you.
Yeah, like, but it's also what the people want to know, you know.
Very true. I guess like we could, I feel like I'd like to know more about like the in-house relationship, because we do see you guys like first, like having like where you retreated first, right? That was because it was so long ago. Like you were the one who kind of retreated, then Max had to let you back into like his life and all that kind of stuff. Danny told us that you guys almost got in, like a fist fight once when Dr. Frankie was around. Could you like tell us about that situation?
Oh, who said that?
Danny said you and Max like almost came to blows.
Oh yeah.
And I mean like blows as in like fists. Not, I'm sure other blows were involved, but not at this time.
Yeah, no, we were at each other's throats. It was like
Hey.
It was during the time after the date with Jonathan that I like remember that conversation we had in the kitchen where he like basically turned me down, and then I ended up winning the next challenge after that and I didn't take him on it. Yeah, so it was like kind of like after that, and you know, we're both passionate, and him more so than me, as you see on TV. But like when someone challenges me, I don't step down. That's very much my personality type, and he took this on. He took like a pre-truth booth ceremony where we're all like hanging out with Terrence or whatever, to like call me out on something. And I was so offended and so like mad, and like I didn't get to like respond, so it just like all built up, and we definitely got into each other's faces and had to be separated by a couple of castmates and whatnot, but it definitely it showed us how much we were interested in each other and how much we wanted to pursue each other, you know, because like love and hate aren't like opposites, you know, and passion's passion.
Right. I mean, that's that. I'm glad that it was during a Dr. Frankie section, so that would sort of like help to dissipate that, because Adam and I have sort of like been shitting on all the Dr. Frankie segments for the entire season because they just seem so superfluous. But it's been brought to our attention that they are a lot longer. Obviously, we probably could have assumed that from you know, just knowing how reality TV is, but they're a lot longer than we see, and she actually does do a lot of work with you guys, so that's great. That's great to hear.
Yeah, no, it's actually really great, and it's like a nice time to center yourself and just like, how crazy has the house been, and why is this not normal? Please tell us.
Yeah, no, that I feel like you need that. Like, it just doesn't translate for TV, because I feel like everything that they've shown with the Dr. Frankie edits is not new information. So I kind of wish they would like take stuff from that we haven't seen. But like, they're doing their best to work everything into an hour long TV show. So obviously you had a connection with Max, like you had your ups and downs. But like, who didn't you get along with in the house? Like, who was just a fucking dickhead?
Oh man. Well,
you know, if there's nobody, don't worry about it. But we'd prefer names.
We prefer names. Well, towards the end, you guys saw the intervention with Kai. He was kind of getting on my nerves for like a couple days there. But after the intervention, you know, we were all cool again. I forever have like a lot of love for Kai. But I guess that's like the most of any one person. Like, it's really hard to be annoyed by any of these people because you get to spend a lot of time with them and you get to see like the fibers of their character and their personality. So like, you know, like one of my favorite quotes is like, oh, I dislike that person. I need to know more about them, you know? So that's,
oh, that's good.
Yeah. So that's like very much, I really didn't beef with anyone too hard.
That's good. I mean, I feel like we got that vibe too. This group of people seem to be very, 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 very passionate. So when it was bad, it would be bad. But for the most part, you guys all really seem to have each other's general interests, best interests at heart. So I can't be understated how much, like, I think that Adam and I and just the rest of us really appreciate this cast and this particular season of the show. It's just been very, very refreshing to watch. So,
yeah, I mean, the drama's different when it's like, there's like a basis of basic understanding, right? So, like, when in any other season are you going to see a actual intervention based off someone's personal growth and how the rest of the house wants them to grow as a human being? Like, that,
right?
That doesn't happen in any other season, you know? And that's why our fights are so passionate, because you're fighting with someone that you know them, right? It's like fighting with family, you know?
Yeah.
Right.
Yeah. Yeah, no, it adds up. And I think another thing that, like, from watching the season, you could see that you guys actually care about each other, which I'm sure is great. And I'm sure it also complicates things when you're trying to find your perfect match, because you already have such these existing relationships. No, back to the Jack situation a little bit. Like, we saw a very passionate Max on the show. Like, we saw Max who was super, like, wearing his heart on his sleeve. And with every up and down you guys had, his like kind of emotions went up and down. How much was Max actually jealous, and how much was it just an edit?
Oh no. Oh no. I if anything, I think that it was a little less. Yeah, but I mean, in Max's defense, I really didn't give him an easy time. Not at all.
Did you guys talk about, like, did he understand that, like, you were going to kind of be exploring every option? Or was that, like, kind of, or did you push the boundaries a bit?
Well, I mean, you saw one of our conversations on the show when I was, we were, like, laying down, and I told him that I wanted to pursue other connections in the house. And he didn't exactly seem like okay with it now watching it back, but I definitely took it as he was okay with it, and continued to make pursuits in the house, because I didn't exactly want to restrict myself to just knowing one person necessarily.
Right. I mean, yeah, I mean, did it bother you at all that you sort of like spent so much time with him, and all of a sudden, like, because you do want to pursue another connection, that there really wasn't enough, like, there wasn't a lot of time left, that sort of like hurt your heart? Because it was like, well, damn, now I have to actually find who my perfect match is. And now that I might find that person, I only get like, what, a couple days left or a week left?
Well, it didn't hurt my heart too much, because I enjoyed every moment that I had with Max and our connection to the fullest. I wanted to fully embrace it, fully be into it. So it definitely like wasn't a loss. Like I didn't feel like, wow, I wasted my time. That's not at all like what I felt. But I did feel the pressure of time to get to know someone else, given the new information that Max isn't my perfect match. You know, so that was definitely a factor.
Okay, that makes sense.
Yeah. No, I'm with you, and I the thing, Justin, that I feel like a lot of people online, I feel like what they've been saying about you is like, oh, well, Justin doesn't care as much as Max. Like, oh, Justin moved on too quick. What's your response for people who say you don't care as much or you moved on too quickly?
Well, I mean, I would say that if it's not evident, if you guys watch the show at all, Max and I are very, very different people. The way that we handle our emotions are very different. The way that we have handled traumas is very different. And you can't quantify emotions just because one of us wears our emotions on our sleeves and we're ready to cry. The other one, you know, doesn't respond that way. And I don't respond that way. Here, I'll just switch it. I don't respond that way. You know, yeah. I have a very different way than Max does of dealing with problems. And I don't know why you would hold me to the same expectation of Max, even though you've known us during this entire journey and you see how we both respond to things. I don't think that my response was out of character or new. And it also doesn't make it any less valid. Like, how can you quantify emotions? They're unquantifiable, you know? Like, how can you say that someone cared more than the other one? You know, like, you don't know that. You're not inside my head and my heart.
Exactly.
You know, it's just like,
yeah, yeah.
Please understand that we're different people and we deal with things very differently.
Just because someone reacts, and I'm not saying like anyone cared more or less, but if someone reacts differently, it's because they're different, right? A lot of people just assume, oh, Justin's quiet. He doesn't care. And I think that's extremely unfair because we don't know, like we know a very little about you and a very little about what you've been through up to this point. Like you've touched on it a little bit, but not for us to really get it. So I feel like people always jump to this conclusion. Oh, like Max is extremely vocal about how sad he is. So he's more sad than Justin. Like, we don't know the last X amount of months since you've been home, what you've been through. And I think that's something that people have to realize, that as much as we see, there's a lot we don't see. So I'm glad you could kind of clear that up and let people know, like, stop honestly just jumping to these conclusions, because it's just not fair to Max and it's not fair to Justin, because it's when you're in a relationship that's so public, you're getting all these different inputs. And I feel like if enough people say to you or say to Max one thing, you might start to believe it, you know?
Yeah, no, definitely.
Well, I mean, I don't think that I have any more questions. I feel like we ran the gamut here tonight.
Yeah, I do too. I think, Justin, is there anything else? Like, I feel like, because it's one thing to, like we said, do like an Instagram live, but when you have like moderators and people talking back and forth, is there anything else that you want to like make clear to the people out there who either A, really support you, or B, have been kind of an asshole to you?
I would say that, you know, obviously a lot of people are invested in Jax, you know, in our relationship, because we were as invested, if not more invested, than you, the viewers, you know. So like, imagine what we're both going through at the same time that you are. You know, we're all in this together. Max, me, all of you, we're all in this together. And I think it's pointless to try to separate Max and I, or to take sides or to take teams, because we all, what brought us together is Max and I's connection, you know?
We're all in this together. And we
there we go. I've never seen the High School Musicals, but I do think that it, yeah, I know, I'm super embarrassing. But I do hope that people can, over time, like start to just appreciate what you and Max had, and not focus so bad that like, oh, you weren't a perfect match. At the end of the day, the connection and what you guys did for, I feel like, just hopefully anyone, whether you're bisexual, straight, gay, whatever, I feel like hopefully what you guys did for everyone just to understand love and see this relationship that we don't see on TV means a lot more than whether or not an iPad lit up and told you you were a perfect match or not.
Yeah, yeah. I mean, definitely my biggest lesson from the show is that you should appreciate your connections for as much as they have, even though they're short-lived or they can be short-lived. I think you should appreciate every moment and just have full respect and be fully into it and dive into whatever relationship you want. That's my biggest takeaway. It's not about the destination. It's about the journey and the people that cause growth in you and that you cause growth in.
Yeah. Well, Justin, we thank you so much for coming on our show and speaking your truth and spilling your tea. Yes. And just giving us more info to flesh out this already, you know, beautiful season of Are You the One? I'm hoping that we can get a few more of your fellow castmates on the show to sort of like just give us, just add to this beautiful canvas that we got going on so far. So it's been such a pleasure.
Yeah, absolutely. Thank you guys for having me. It's been a grand old time.
Yeah, for sure. And I think it's also important that people see that outside of the show, like me and Mon, we've talked about this, that you're a lot more than what TV portrayed you to be. And I think that's extremely important for people to see, and that there's a lot of layers to everybody. And we're just seeing the Are You the One Justin is a lot different from the Justin that we talked to for the last hour and a half.
Oh, damn. Was it that long? Holy shit.
I don't know. Was it? I kind of guessed is probably not.
I'm at an hour and 11 just minutes. About.
Oh, okay, that's not bad. All right, so Justin, where can people find you on social media?
Oh, sweet. Well, my Instagram is the same as my Twitter, and that's just my name. So Justin Avery Palm, and there you go.
Justine Avery.
Justine Avery Palm, or yeah, whatever.
Whatever gets them to follow you.
Yeah, I mean, if you want to see me just be authentically me and like more, you know, not as stoic and more emotive, and just like me being me, then definitely follow up, because I'm not just the person that you see on TV.
Yeah, I caught a little bit of your Q&A last night. So yeah, definitely check that shit out. You guys can find me at Amon Adwin on both Instagram and Twitter, although I don't really Instagram. I prefer to tweet, so.
Twitter fingers on are heavy with Amon. Yes. And I'm Adam Bongo, B-O-N-G-O everywhere. Follow me. You don't really have to. It's either way. It's not that big a deal. But we will see you guys. We'll talk to you guys because we still have to recap the episode. So we'll be back pretty soon with another podcast where we're going to be talking all about Are You the One, the episode before the finale. And we're going to be talking about who we think might be a perfect match. And Justin, we'll probably be talking once again a lot about you. So once again, thank you for coming on our show. And we will see you guys soon.
See you later.